Hi, hello, fashion lovers, and welcome to the inaugural episode of your new favorite podcast, It's Giving Fashion. I'm the icon herself, Shay, Miss Kool-Aid if you nasty. And I am joined this week and every week by my BFF, Miss Tiger Lily. Hey, Tosh.
Hey, Tosh. How's it going?
Good. So, okay. Look, y'all, this podcast is just an opportunity for me and my best friend here to come together, talk about trends, what's going on in fashion, what we're seeing in celebrity style, what we love, what we hate, what we want to steal for ourselves, all the things in between. It's going to be an absolute treat.
We'll also get into some looks on Drag Race, controversies in fashion, and talk about some of our favorite looks from TVs and movies.
We have so much that we're going to get into this episode. The Golden Globes, good old Tosh, we're back this year after a hiatus. You know, they had to go take a little break, talk about inclusion, all these other things. But they came back this year. And the fashions,
there were some choices.
We are back, and we are chatting about the 80th Golden Globe Awards that were held on January 10th, 2023 at the Beverly Hilton in Beverly Hills, California. If we are going to say trend alert, I think this year the trend was lemon yellow.
Right. It is a tough color to wear. It is a very tough color to wear. I feel like it so easily can wash you out. You know, our... Like Kate Hudson and her outfit, not my favorite color on her. I feel like she needed a little more depth than that. You know, it's a very like beigey lemon yellow, you know?
Okay, because like, we've seen her look iconic in lemon yellow in that bias cut gown and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. We know that Kate Hudson can carry off lemon yellow. It just needed to be a little bit more saturated.
Absolutely. And like, you know, Kiki Palmer in her lemon yellow. I like it. You know, I wish it was, again, it's a tough color. I wish it was a little more punched up.
Yeah, I love Kiki Palmer. I stan Kiki Palmer. Same. But this one wasn't giving as much as it needed to. I can understand what they were going for with this kind of like simplistic, like Greek draping. There just needed to be more. There needed to be more. It's just kind of giving twin bedsheet. You know, give us some volume. Give us some eleganza. Kiki Palmer has such a big personality. She just like shines so bright that I'm just all like, if she's going to be wearing yellow, I think it needs to be contributing and adding to like her shine. And unfortunately, I feel like this one was taking away from it.
Yeah. And isn't she pregnant right now? Like,
give
us some shape. Give us some belly. That's what I want to see, you know? And she's so proud about like showing her pregnancy off. And like, and even the fabric, it's like a very light absorbing fabric. Like, give us some shine. Give us some glitz. It's a red carpet, you know?
It's the Golden Globes. Like,
hello.
Dolly De Leon, she did it correct.
Yes, I agree.
Lemon yellow satin moment. I love the way that this is draped. I love that she said, yeah, y'all bitches be putting your trains in the back. Mine's in the front, ho. Now what?
Right. And give us some drama, you know, because not on a red carpet, we don't always get the over the shoulder, the back shot. You know, well, the back shot, yeah. You know? And like the satin that it is, it looks so luxe and expensive. That's how you do a lemon yellow.
Yes. I think someone else who was also turning a lot of heads was Anya Taylor-Joy. She came out in this yellow Dior moment with this, you know, crop bandeau top and this kind of column skirt. My only critique is I wish that the skirt was more tailored in the waist.
More Anna Taylor-Joy.
Exactly. Exactly. If Anya's skirt was tailored, it would bring me joy.
Yes!
You know, yeah. Because like just silhouette proportion wise, like where that waistline is like hitting her, it's like at the same width as the bottom of her bandeau. So it's not giving her a waist. I just watched The Menu last night and she's like yes! wearing this so beautiful good. Kind of like bias cut dress that shows off how beautiful her figure is. And yes. I just wish I would have seen a little bit more of that in this garment.
I think we have to talk about Jenna Ortega in this nude Gucci gown. Mm. Obsessed with Jenna Ortega. Like she yeah. has such a bright future ahead of her, but we know she's such a petite woman. You know, she's, oh my what God, is she like five foot?
Oh, basically I met her during Paris Fashion Week at the Valentino show. And whereas like so many people, because like, first of all, very sweet, but because so many people were so like, you know, she's such a hot young starlet right now. Everyone was trying to get their picture with her, except for me, because I was like, I look like a giant. I said, please do not photograph me with Jenna Ortega or the illusion will be shattered. Everyone will know. I was literally like running from her. Yeah, I was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. But she is incredibly petite, like so small that they had to make her custom shoes for the Valentino show because her feet are too small for their shoes. Oh, like she's poor little tiny. Baby. She's such a little tiny. She's such but a tiny. Yeah,
she was drowning in this Gucci. It is such a beautiful gown. Like, wow, ethereal. Mm-hmm. Like if she had some pleasers on, some stripper shoes on, not that was going to be the look, but like she just needed some height, or she needed it shortened to fit her body, because it could have been like a goddess moment, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and then just hit her with some wind. God, that is such a beautiful gown.
The stylist with a leaf blower on the red carpet, just giving all the wind. Look, I've seen La Roche do it for Zendaya, you know? She was just all like, La Roche was like, we getting the photographs, bitch. We're getting the drama. She said, I'm going to show up with my center part melted down and my leaf blower, and I'm going to give my bitch some drama. She's like, this is what a stylist does for their client. Full service.
I would do it. I would absolutely do that. Just give them what they got.
Yes, but I do agree that it did need to have some hemming at the bottom just to give her, you know, a better balanced silhouette. Someone who is really petite that I feel like right now is like really nailing their silhouettes is Quinta Brunson. You know, she's really short. She's obsessed. Really, you know, petite. But her proportions, you know, like she was wearing that very like mermaid-esque gown at the Golden Globes as well. And all of the proportions were so right. It was tailored to perfection. Yes. You know?
Yeah. So I love that she's having her moment. Her glow up is so beautiful to witness.
It really is. It makes me emotional as someone who loved her just from that short video of her in the movie theater being like, and a large. Oh, he got money. You can get it all for him. Get it all. I was like, I've been on her side. I've been team Quinta since then. So to see this glow up, to see her snatching trophies, you know, having a hit show, I'm like, good for you, girl. Like, wish you all the best. Yes,
she did that. Oh my goodness. What about some looks that we didn't like?
I mean, it goes without saying that there were men at the Golden Globes. They were there.
I guess.
In attendance. In their tuxes, just like groundbreaking. Every time I'm always like, wow, look at the silhouette on that bow tie. You really shook the table here.
Right.
however, honorable mention to Donald Glover in Saint Laurent.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it is really not that hard to just like switch it up. Like,
yes.
God. I don't think like I would be a good fashion correspondent on the red carpet feigning interest in what these men are wearing. Like I would not, I'm sorry. I would not even care to be like, who are you wearing? I'm like, oh, another tuxedo.
I love Donald Glover in this Saint Laurent, but I just wish you know, the bottom of the hem of the pant is like just a little too saggy. I get what they're trying to do, that effortless loungewear look. Mm-hmm. Very cool. But I would have loved it to be like an inch shorter, you know?
Or just put him in a pleaser. Just throw him in a pleaser. Now that's switching it up. Like, honestly, girl, I'd live. Can you imagine one of these actors was like, look, the pants were too long, so we threw on a platform heel. What you gonna do about it? With that being said, speaking of giving, have you been watching the new season of Drag Race Tosh?
Oh, you know I have. It's always a great time when there's a new season of Drag Race to digest.
I know. And I love how I asked that question. Like, we literally weren't watching Drag Race together last week. But so
the children don't know that.
We are a couple episodes in, which is, you know, always when we really start wanting to discuss the show, you know, premiere, schmermere, it's great. Same formula, diva, runway, girl group challenge. But now we're a couple weeks into it. So today I want to chat about one of the runways that we've seen in recent episodes that I just have a lot of opinions about. The theme for the runway was Metallica. So Bring your best and fiercest metallic fashions. Let's just start off with some of the looks that we loved. I'm just going to go start off right from the top with Sugar and Spice.
Yes.
Their Y2K millennium, just like video game. It was giving me like TLC, no scrubs. Like it just like, it really took me back. Mm-hmm. To that time period of Y2K fashion. And I really feel like they absolutely nailed it. They looked like they were Xenon Girl, the 21st century, yeah. All grown up. Like, it just was a serve. The DigiPet, Zetus like... Zetus LaPetus. Zetus LaFuckinPetus. Like, it just... This is so good. I loved it. And both of their looks were by Garo Sparrow. So...
We love.
We absolutely love. Like, great job. No critiques on that.
You know who else's look I loved? Mm-hmm. Lux Noir. Mm. Their look was by Evan Clayton. I just thought it was such a beautiful look. The way the weight of that gold fabric was perfect. Mm. The way it billowed, the way she moved, and that gold on her skin tone was just perfection. I thought she slayed it.
I have to disagree with one thing, because this is actually my only note. Because I thought the garment was beautiful. I loved it. I actually did not like the way that she moved in it. Oh. I felt that, and this is my own personal opinion, because I also really feel like when you are on the runway, it is your job to really interpret the clothing that you're wearing and like really sell that story. And I felt like the way that she walked it was not elegant enough for the gown that she was wearing. It was very like, you know, I'm walking the ball, when it really should have been like, I'm walking the catwalks in Paris Fashion Week. Like, that's what it needed to be giving. And that was literally my only critique, because I felt like it was so beautiful. Loved the hair, loved the way that it was styled. I just felt like her walk needed more elegance to it. It was just a little bit too regular.
Yeah, she's low-key a baby queen too. So I feel like she will get there. She will get there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But she wasn't there tonight. But absolutely loved her. Another one that I loved was Miss Sasha Colby wearing Perry Meek. Great.
Give us bird of paradise. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's going to be a common theme for Sasha Colby. Like, she is what everyone is expecting the absolute most from her. So I think she brought it on this runway. And, you know, spoiler alert, she did win the challenge. Sorry if I'm spoiling anything, but you guys should watch it already.
Yeah, you know what? It's been already over a week, so y'all catch the geek.
What about some looks that we didn't love?
my oh, okay. You know what? It would actually, the two that I was not living for the most were actually the two that were in the bottom. I really did not enjoy Princess Poppy nor Amethyst's looks. However, wow, did Amethyst not really kind of like, I mean, just it was a perfect moment that they got that Diana Ross song, because when it came down to the lip sync, I was just all like, wow, thank God Amethyst wore that outfit, because it was selling the story. It was the big hair, the billowy, you know, duster. It was giving Diana. So I said, bitch, you are so lucky, because it's selling the fantasy.
I 1000% agree. You know, like, we are both Diana Ross stans. So when they gave this song to two petite young ladies, I was like, God damn it. You couldn't give that to a big girl. Like, give us some Diana, you know? But yeah, I feel like the fabric helped save her. I feel like she took off that caftan moment a little too early for me.
It was the hair
because the hair was giving Diana Ross.
Absolutely. And she had that Diana bounce down, you know, like how Diana does her little bounce. She had that down. She really can. And she sold it. Next time, Amethyst, wear a panty under under the skirt. As we were seeing all the tights, like, y'all cannot, like, don't you, to any future girls that go on RuPaul's Drag Race, the cameras are below the stage. They do have ones above, but baby, if you're wearing a short skirt, you got to wear some panties. No one wants to stare at that Capizio, like, tight Barbie crotch. Like, that's just not, that's not the fantasy. It's not giving fashion.
No. Okay, but we have to talk about Poppy's outfit, too. Like, it just missed the mark for me. Like, the only thing I really liked about it was the hair, but the hair and the look did not go together. It was, like, so simple, you know? Like,
yeah,
the hair was not simple, but the outfit was simple. It's like you're on season, what is it, 15 of Drag Race? And you don't bring more jewelry. You don't bring more pizzazz. Like, this is the runway. You're walking next to Sasha Colby. Like, come on. Like, bring it.
You know what? Like, that outfit needed a matching, like, metallic, like, choker.
Yes.
It needed metallic gauntlets, like, on the arms, because you're going for this kind of, like, Barbarella vibe, like, this vintage sci-fi vibe. Those were just kind of, like, you know, key components that always went into kind of, like, communicating this, like, retro sci-fi bombshell. Like, when you look back at comics, illustrations, movies, things, like, those were just kind of, like, key accessories that were always present. And I felt like not having those just, like, really did her a disservice.
I don't even know. It was just not it for me. Sorry, girl.
Before we go, like, any further in this episode, you know, because this is, like, a major practice in my life. I know it's a practice in your life, too. But I just wanted to take a moment to just have a moment of gratitude. And I want to extend my gratitude to you, my dear friend, because I don't think that the audience really knows this. But Tiger Lily was really single-handedly the one individual that peer pressured me into doing drag.
Peer pressure works, and kids.
It does work. And it can, and honestly, peer pressure can really lead to some successful things if you're surrounded by the right peers.
Absolutely. It has to be the right vibrations. It has to be the right group of people. Because, yes, it can be bad if they're trying to get you to do bad things. Like,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
but sometimes it's good.
Yeah.
Like, I want to pressure you to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, not, like, commit armed robbery.
Not yet.
We go way, way, way back. And I just, like, have to First of all, we call each other, you guys are going to hear this a lot. Our nickname for each other, it's like a dual nickname. It's like a partnership, like nickname. It's like a brand, mm-hmm. is Tosh, which is short for Toshi, T-O-S-H-I. But we mm-hmm. shortened it to Tosh, you know, still pronounced Tosh, not Tosh. Like, you know, the O kind of has an umlaut over it. I think that's what the Germans call the two little dots in umlaut.
So it looks like the O is taking a big yawn.
Yeah, or a big hit off a bong. Yeah. Just the fattest, just like pop. So yes, if you guys hear us say Tosh, you know, just know that we're talking to each other. So we both went to Columbia College in Chicago, not university, because people sometimes seem to get confused when we say that. Mm. Columbia College in Chicago, South Loop campus. And we both were in the theater design department, and we were costume designers. I had remembered we had the first time that I really took notice of Tiger Lily, and also that I was just like, oh my God, I was like, this girl, like, she really knows how to like sell people on it. We were in the costume shop. And, you know, you could work there. It was like a really kind of like, you know, a limited number of students could like mm-hmm. get this job, because it was our responsibility to like build the costumes for like the main stage shows and productions. So we would get the opportunity to like have these like, you know, little like spaces in like the costume shop that were like designated for us. You know, it was just like, if you worked in the costume shop and, you know, and you had one of the, it was, y'all, it was literally just a cubby. If you had this cubby, this coveted cubby, yes. in the costume shop, you were a badass bitch. So like mm-hmm. we started, I think I started just one semester maybe before
yeah,
you did.
Or
did we
right.
start at the same time? Okay.
No, you were there before me.
Okay, yeah. I started just one semester before you. We finally sat down and watched Drag Race together. Because before we even started watching it together, you were already gassing me up. You were like, Tosh, you know, I see these girls on this show. They are fierce. They are fabulous. Mm-hmm. I love them. But I see them and I'm like, good old Tosh could go on that show. And good old Tosh could win that show. Like mm-hmm. from the beginning. Tiger Lily was manifesting it from the beginning before I ever even stepped out. It drank, mm-hmm. you know, so it was already, the manifestations were happening.
Absolutely. I mean, you are like a quadruple threat, you know, you can sing, dance, act. So, and these girls, you know, and that's what Drag Race was, mm-hmm. you know, it was acting challenges, design challenges, you know, I knew you could do it all. And also like, you're a fine artist. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but like Shea Coulee can make a freaking masterpiece, like whether it be on a canvas or, you know, seeing your face as a canvas also. Like, I just knew you could do it, Tosh. I just knew you could do it. And just, I mean, I literally was harassing you about it. You're like, come on. For my enjoyment. I was like, come on, Tosh, you got this. You can do this.
Come on. Watch show with me.
I know. And then I think you already had like maybe stepped a foot in like going out in drag, maybe just like a little beat at that point.
I remember it was a like theater department, like, well, not department, because it wasn't like, you know, something through the school, but like a bunch of kids. Oh my God, what was, no, it's coming back to me. Andrew something or other. He was one of the actors. I remember... He had a Halloween party, and I went as Tyra Banks.
That's right. That's right.
And I think
right.
that was, like, maybe junior year of college. Right. Yeah.
Right. And then you started going out in drag, like, more often. And I remember, I forget what your OG drag name was, but I remember, wasn't it BB or something? No. Okay. Sorry. Not to spill
no,
that
No, it was.
Okay, and I literally was like,
I could
like,
scream. I thought I buried that bitch deep. Deep. I thought I buried that bitch 12 feet under. Never to see the light of day again.
But like, I remember even when we were working on our first film together out of college and I literally was like, Tosh, no shade, but you have to change your drag name. I was like, there's so many girls who their drag name is BB. I was like, you need something completely different because you're not like anybody else. And we were like in a fever dream. It was like a 48-hour no sleep time crunch. And we came up, or well, I thought it was going to take us all day to come up with it. But when the words Shea Coulee left your mouth, we were like, oh, I think that was the first name you threw out, right?
It was, because we were listening to Lady Gaga's Paparazzi on repeat.
Yep.
And I remember I was like ironing seams at your ironing board. And then all of a sudden, like, I just said, Shea Coulee. And you were sewing at your Juki machine and you literally stopped sewing. And you like turned around and you were like, bitch, that's it.
Yes! I can visualize it like to perfection, Tosh. Like, seriously. Yep. That was a moment. You never forget like the birth of your child, you know? Like,
yes. Oh, and Shea Coulee was birthed into the world.
Yes. Oh.
I mean, look. So- and I mean, and look at us now, years later. You know, actually made it onto Drag Race after after all the years of going to getting driven by good old Tosh to amateur shows and other shows and Jeezy's juke
buckling
joints and this
shoes.
And that, painting toenails. We've truly seen it all, like girl vacations, all of it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Shea Coulee wins Drag Race All Stars.
Yeah. So, in case any of you girls haven't caught up, if you're late, like, y'all, that was like years ago.
And the rest is herstory.
We met in like 2009. I started doing drag in like 2011. And like, y'all, like, really, like, honestly, like, seriously, I don't know what was going on trend-wise, fashion-wise. Everything was like crazy. Everything was like loud in your face. Like, I think about like, just, it was like patterns. We were all wearing like stripes, like, like those visor shades. Like, what was that?
Every single pop song had a drop, and it was the same time that hipster fashion was like it. Remember the glasses, the big frame glasses with no lenses? And that was totally.
Oh my God.
Okay, let me trigger you a minute.
Why did
mustaches,
people do that?
Mustaches everywhere. Oh. Everything was, I must ask you a question. Oh, it was so cringy.
Mustaches really were everywhere. They were having a moment. They were having like a true renaissance. And like the hipster fashion that you're talking about, like I feel like, you know, like 2005 to like 2008 was where it was all about like indie rock. So it was like a little bit granola. And then, you know, like from 2010 on, it was like hipster on ecstasy, hipster on Molly. Like the color palette shifted. Everything was really like electric and
bold,
like weird.
Yes.
Ooh, the
quirky
hair, the side bangs. Whoa.
You know I had a side bang.
You know
I had a swoop.
When we met, you had a side bang. You sure
did. Yes, I did.
I mean, I kind of even had a side bang.
Honestly, you did. I remember you used to flat iron your hair.
Yes, girl.
And
it
have
was
that little swoop.
Y'all, it was relaxed. It was flat ironed. It was like up into like a swoop, like a little like pompadour.
Yes.
Because
I love
like,
that pompadour. That was
you know,
so
the pompadour
cute.
Was pumping. It was. It was a vibe. Because like I was just like really, I don't know. I was going for this. I think about Kanye West and this kind of like collegiate preppy moment. Cause you know, like I feel like at that time, like I was wearing a lot of cardigans. Like, you know, I would always be in like a little cardigan moment. Like So, but it would be like a bright color. I remember this mustard, like yellow cardigan that I just.
Oh, I remember it.
Girl, I loved that. I need to find a picture of that because, like, the way I just loved that cardigan. I don't know what happened to it. I feel like one of my roommates stole it from me. Wow. I kind of feel like I know exactly the roommate who took it, Chad.
I didn't.
No, I will call him out by name. It's all right. It's fine.
Yeah, Chad.
You know, I have some great things in my wardrobe, but you know what, Chad, if you're listening to this, I know that you took my mustard cardigan and I know that you took my red, purple, and blue plaid shirt. And you may live in Spain now, but one day, bitch, one day.
Wow. I remember that plaid shirt too. I also remember distinctly in college, you were all about that deep V. That American Apparel deep V down to the belly button, maybe like a couple inches above the belly button.
Girl, it was down to the sternum, like right where like that, like right where like your sternum, that little bone, like ends. Like it was like right there.
American Apparel said décolletage, bitch.
Décolletage, décolle coulé.
Oh.
We're going to end this episode with a quote from a very amazing and prolific figure in the fashion industry. Because, like, look, I feel like it's always good to leave our audience with some helpful thoughts and tidbits to carry on into the rest of their day. So this quote says, fashion is very important. It is life-enhancing, and like everything that gives pleasure, it is worth doing well. The late, great Dame Vivienne Westwood.
R.I.P. Queen.
Rest in power. First of all, fashion is very important. Like, Some people who don't get it, those who are afraid of it, you know, probably just think that fashion is very trivial and self-serving and vain. Mm. But really, fashion does two things, you know. It affects the person that's wearing it, and it affects those who perceive them. And fashion is a really amazing way to communicate non-verbally. And to me, it is my favorite non-verbal language.
It's transformative. Fashion is transformative. It can change your mood. Putting on like something fabulous just makes you feel so good. Putting on something expensive just makes you feel rich, even if you got nothing in your bank account. You know? It is a fantasy. And who wants to live in reality?
Okay. I think that about wraps it up for today's episode of It's Giving Fashion. And we will see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. I